así. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. Guess what? It's living and thriving time. I'm so crazy excited because, as you know, I took a little bit of time off. I've been writing and doing some of my own shadow work and doing that healing stuff that everybody has to do and really digging this meditation, peaceful time that I'm experiencing. This has just been a beautiful time frame to create and get good with life and to find the delicious silence and the silence within the silence. It's just been beautiful. My meditations have been great. And for those of you who follow me on social media, you know that I fell in love with the whole resin, art form. It's been crazy, crazy beautiful to make these awesome pieces. And wow, I'm so excited. So I will be teaching art class, more like art therapy, but, you know, kind of fun and get messy and finger paint style once a week in Port Charlotte, Florida. So definitely reach out if you want to attend some of my classes. I've got some lectures coming up, some seminars, putting together a speakers panel. It's been really quite a beautiful time to create and get good with the new way of being, which is healthy and happy and authentic. And I'm telling you, if you haven't killed your television yet, do it now. It's just horrible to listen to. I don't even go to restaurants with TVs anymore. I can't hear it. I can't listen to all the nastiness. Speeding things up, fast forwarding, Dr. Leica is in the house, and I'm super excited to talk to him in regards to his near-death experience. And he, too, is prolific in being busy, like myself. He's got three books. I think it was two or three books coming out. The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life and Blue Talk Presents Business Life and the Universe. And he's going to hang out with my friend Jack Canfield with another book called The Pillars of Success. So let me pull on Dr. Leica. Knock, knock.
Hello, Rusty. How are you?
Hi, my friend. How are you? I'm so excited to have you on the show today. You are a spirit animal. Like you walk the same busy, go-getting love path that I do. And so this is just great. I'm so thrilled.
Well, if I was an animal, I think I'd be an eagle because I want to see everything going on down below and take advantage of it. I think that would be my spirit path. But, you know, it's such an exciting week because Thursday, my book, The Pillars of Success, comes out with Jack Canfield. So it's an exciting journey. Jack has been a personal friend for a number of years. He helped me at his house with my co-author, Harriet Tinka, to write The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. And it truly has been a remarkable journey of discovery and also helping others along the way.
And that's what it's really all about, isn't it? At the end of the day, when you finally get that final cosmic 2x4 and the universe says, hey, by the way, you're supposed to be helping other people. that's the glory of it all, isn't it?
Isn't it, though? I mean, I was one of the leading cosmetic doctors in North America for over 30 years, and I stepped away last year. But my journey was not an easy one. It was a rather difficult one, because back in 2003, I was walking with my dear wife in Disneyland and my youngest daughter, and my wife turned to me and said, what's wrong with you, hon? And for once in my life, Rusty, I hadn't said anything wrong. I hadn't done anything wrong. I haven't even thunk anything wrong. So I was really taken from aback there. So what happened next is she persisted and said, what's wrong? And I really didn't know where she was coming from. And then she said to me, listen to your foot. Well, what kind of wife would say that to their husband? Listen to their foot. I didn't know where she was coming from, but I did what I was told, and my right foot had suddenly and mysteriously developed a right foot drop. Your brain is programmed to lift up your foot with every step you take, but my foot wasn't doing it. It was slapping on the pavement with each step I was taking. And she looked at me and said, did you have a stroke? And I said to my wife, well, dear, I'm a doctor, you're a doctor, you know this isn't how strokes present. She said, yeah, that's right. But she said, you know, when we get back, you better get this checked out. Now, when your wife says that in that tone of voice, you know you better listen and you better find out what's going wrong. So I live in Canada, so when we got back, I had a gazillion-dollar workup. I had CAT scans. I had brain scans. I had PET scans. I had scan scans. And you know what they showed at the end of the day, Rusty?
Nothing.
You are absolutely right. Your psychic coming through the, you know, there was nothing
there.
The doctors were befuddled.
They're crazy. Doctors
are like that. They have to have answers to their problems. I know I'm a doctor. So when that happens, you know what happens next?
They send you the psychologist.
Well, or they do more tests before they send you to the psychologist.
Yeah.
So they did more tests and more tests and more tests. I think I had tests that are even not even invented yet, 2020. So, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I ended up on the doorstep of a world-leading neurologist. And he invited me in. He said, hi, Dr. Leica. I said, hi. And he said, you better be sitting down when I tell you this. You have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. In 6 months, you're going to be dead. Get your affairs in order.
That's so lovely.
Yeah, isn't that a nice hug?
And how many years ago was this?
This was 2003, you know.
This was
2003. And now it's 2020, and I'm still not dead yet, so there must have been something wrong with the story back then. And, you know, I shot back at that neurologist. I got angry, and I said, I'm not going to die to prove you wrong. But, you know,
when you go through something like this,
Rusty. Yeah, go ahead, Rusty. Tell me about what you've gone through.
When you go through something like this, it's really an eye-opener as to a variety of things. And when I went through a myriad of tests, I was dying, not from ALS. They couldn't figure out what I was dying from. So it was 18 months of testing and testing and testing. I ate radiation eggs. I was upside down, inside out, orange fluids, green fluids, pink fluids, you know, just whatever they could possibly drum up to test me with. And in the end, it turned out I have celiac disease. But larger for me, and I'm sure you feel this way as well, it really puts a burn on your bum because you're like, this is the way I feel. It's almost like even if you do self-advocate, and I'm sure it must have been more frustrating for you because you are a doctor, there's not a listening skill that some of these doctors have. They don't seem to listen to your own intuition or your own feelings in regards to that situation. I mean, you said, no, I'm not going to die to prove you wrong, but that's kind of, you knew in your gut that you weren't dying, but it's frustrating to talk to somebody who's like automatically assuming that you're dying rather than
it's really a tough situation, Rusty. And you know, when you go through something like this and you're told you're going to die, you go through a phase of reactions, something that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross wrote in her book on death and dying. And what Elizabeth wrote about was the grief reaction. You know, you go through anger. You're very angry. You can bite the head off nails. You go through bargaining. Oh, God, please don't let this happen. I will do anything if you don't let this happen. You go through denial. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong. I can do everything. I really don't have a dropped right foot. I'm perfect. I can go through anything. So you throw yourself into your work, and you try to come out the other side. But you know in your heart of hearts there's something wrong. And quite often, Rusty, you do need a shrink. You do need a psychiatrist because you go through depression. Your body shuts down. Every day is black. Your brain literally says, everything is going wrong. I'm just going to lie here. I'm not going to let you function properly. And that's what depression is all about. It's one of the darkest, hardest things in the world.
How long was your process from being told that you're going to die in 6 months to you going, and I totally relate to that, every few minutes, you know, you're either grieving or you're pissed off or you're trying to fight and prove somebody wrong. There's a whole myriad of feelings that you go through at that time. But how long was the overall process before you were diagnosed with?
You know, the answer was pretty easy for me, being a doctor. And I went and turned to my wife and I said, "Dear wife, what is wrong with me?" And she gave me a vote of confidence. She says, "I haven't got the faintest idea. Neither do any of those doctors that you've seen. But," she said, "you're smart. You can figure it out." Okay. So
right.
So my wife put it on me to figure it out. And, you know, I was a leading doctor in cosmetic surgery. I had to figure out a lot of things because things weren't invented and done right. You know, back in the early late 1990s, when I started into cosmetic surgery, nothing was there. I mean, we just had invented Botox. We had just invented fillers. We had just invented a way to do things under liposuction or local anesthesia. And I figured out how to do them all, and I mastered them all. But this was about me. This was me figuring it out. And, you know, back in 2003, Rusty, something new was invented. It was called the Internet. You ever heard of that thing?
No, not at all. That sounds really weird.
It is weird. You know, it's all these thoughts that are out there that you can tap into seconds. And the biggest problem thing of it, it's full of knowledge, but you can't tell the garbage can the knowledge that's important. So there's garbage and knowledge all thrown together in one media. And back in 2003, you couldn't get on with a search engine. They just weren't there. The only way you could get onto the Internet was with dial-on connections. Your phone had to attach to another phone, and it would go ring-ar, ring-ar, ring-ar for 15, 20 minutes. And finally, when you got on, you had to look up each and every individual site that you wanted to look up. Okay?
I think if I
there
have
was
anybody
no Dr.
under
Google
the
back
age
then.
30.
Yeah,
anybody under the age of 30,
crazy.
Please don't pass out. This is real.
Yeah,
there was
this
no
is
Dr.
real.
Google.
It
that's
was,
exactly
well,
right.
Welcome to my nightmare. So good thing I have nerds for friends. And I stumbled across a doctor in Colorado Springs, Colorado, by the name of David Martz, that had a disease very similar to mine, but he got worse much more rapidly. And his story was that he was on his deathbed when a doctor from Texas came up to say goodbye to him. He was a very well-known doctor. And he said to David, he said, "David, I don't think you have ALS. David whispered back, because he was so weak at that time, "What do I have?" The doctor from Texas said, "You know, I think you have something called chronic Lyme's disease. I think you've been bitten by a tick. Yeah. And I think that disease is mimicking ALS, and I think that's really what you have." So you know what happened then is David said, "Well, what do I do?" The doctor from Texas said, "Don't do anything. I'm going to start you on some treatment, and if I'm right, you're going to get rapidly better." And miracle of miracles, David awoke from the dead. He was like Lazarus. Within a few weeks, he was back to normal. He was back to his regular
Lyme disease. I've watched so many people suffer from Lyme disease and not even realize that they have it and literally get misdiagnosed. I think they're doing it a better job at recognizing it in the beginning.
This was the dark ages.
I know.
People didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
You know?
So I lived in
Vermont. I knew I had to
Vermont.
Go down and see David. Oh, yeah, this goes on for months. And I went down to see David. I met him in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And David told me a couple of things. He said, "You know, I've started a clinic that's treated 2,000 people just like us," he said. He said, "Come on down and see me." And I got on a plane from Canada to Denver, which was a great flight. But then I got on the worst flight from hell from Denver to Colorado Springs. It's the end of the day. The air is coming off the desert like eddies, and that plane is the plane from hell. It literally is like the drop of doom over and over and over again. You go up, you go down. You go up, you go down. The plane drops 100 feet in just seconds. You know, wow, what a metaphor for what my life was like. Now, I crawled off that plane, and there was David on the tarmac to meet me. You know, this was 2003. There wasn't the high security that goes on now. And he was a well-known doctor. He was picking up a guest, so he met me. And we talked for hours, and he said a couple of miracle words. He said, "Dr. Laika, I think history is repeating itself. And if you listen to what I say, I am going to make you better." And for over 30 years, I was able to maintain my status as a top cosmetic doctor. Are you still there?
Nope.
Yeah.
Yep,
am I there?
Am
I,
you're here.
Okay.
you disappeared for a second.
So I'm going to give you a chance to ask me any questions about this journey before we go into my next journey.
No, we're chewing our nails here. So let's go. Let's do this.
Okay. So, you know, with all this, your life changes, Rusty. Your life, you either become hard and bitter and arsenic. You become snarky. You become, you know, if you were a woman, you'd become really a bitch. If you're a guy, you'd become a bastard. And you really could become mean. Or you take the other path. You realize you've been given a second chance in life, and you've been given a second chance to love life more completely. And you know, in 2003, I started to give back. I started to give back to people, and I sponsored a competition for the YWCA in Edmonton, and a beautiful, wonderful lady by the name of Harriet Tinka applied for a Turning Points Award. Now, Harriet's story was similar to mine, but yet very different. She was a wonderful lady that was a New York runway model. She was gorgeous. And what her story was that she decided to end the modeling career. She was tired of it. And she went back to university, to the University of Calgary, to take a degree in accounting. During that degree, an evil, cruel man met her, harassed her, became infatuated with her, and she became the victim of domestic abuse. He kidnapped her, he stabbed her, and left her for dead. Now, what happened next was even more interesting. You know, in the hospital where Harriet was rehabbing from this, Harriet met a little girl by the name of Amber. Now, during the rehab, Amber came in. She was a girl about the age of 9 who came in a wheelchair. She couldn't walk. She had been paralyzed in a car accident, an accident that had taken both of her parents. And she came in to Harriet, listened to Harriet's story, and literally told Harriet, "Harriet, stop being sad for yourself. Use your story to help others." And that's why Harriet was applying for this Turning Points Award, which, of course, she won. And then she took me for lunch. And 6 years ago, she said to me at lunch, "We have to write a book about our stories. And we have to let people get some of the knowledge and wisdom that we've gained from our experience so that they could live lives better." And that's why we wrote this book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. It has 13 golden pearls in it, 13 pearls of wisdom that we've gleaned from our life experience. And you know what's amazing about a pearl, Rusty?
What?
Well, a pearl is made because of trauma. A little grain of sand gets inside of its shell, and the oyster walls it off with this wonderful material called luster that makes this gorgeous pearl. Now, golden pearls actually exist, but they're extremely rare. They only exist in the southern Philippines and Indonesian areas. And a single solitary perfect pearl costs upwards of $10,000. Now, the beautiful thing about the pearls that we have in our book is the pearls are pearls of wisdom, and each and every person has them inside themselves. They have them in such a way, and I think everybody in this day needs some inspiration. They need some love. They need how to survive in these trying times. And this is what our book's about. It's not what happens to you, Rusty. It's what you do with what happens.
So let's back up a little bit, because I didn't realize you were going to fast forward that far. There's one tidbit of information that everybody was sitting on the edge of their seat trying to really grasp, which is, what was your final diagnosis?
You know, I wish I could tell you. You know, I've been alive for years after my diagnosis. And if you ask 20 doctors, you will get 40 diagnoses. My working diagnosis is chronic Lyme disease, because that's what I respond to. You know, sometimes in life,
right,
you don't know exactly what you have. Doctors come up with a list of things that they think you might have. They come up with something called the differential diagnosis. So I think I do have chronic Lyme disease because I'm on treatment and my body has responded to that treatment. Now, is there a way to prove this? Not really. You know, it's one of those diagnoses that's very hard to do. You know, as I told you, the only way they could prove I had ALS was an autopsy. You know, and I don't want to go to autopsy to find out what I have. Maybe that won't even tell the answer.
No. All right. So the beauty of that story is you had somebody in your life who was smart, and you were willing to take a bet that it was probably Lyme disease, and you have fairly recovered pretty well with treatment, right?
You know, the beautiful thing is I have a beautiful life. I have a fantastic life that I've been able to do everything and more than I would have ever thought I would. I've been able to reach up to the stars and take them on. I've been able to do so much more than I would have ever realized if I'd just limited myself before this disease. So, you know, it's the hardships in life that because of the beauty that we really have. You know, steel is made hard by pressure and by fire. Diamonds are made because of pressure and heat. You know, pearls are made because of trauma to an oyster. You know, the beautiful things that come out of life are really what come out of the hardships that we have. You know, you don't see the peaks of the mountains unless you understand the depths of despair. You really don't understand the cruelties of life unless you've been a victim of them like you have, Rusty. You know, I would not recommend anybody go through what you and I have done. I really wouldn't. But at the same time, they've given us a unique club to be in, a club where we really can see things from a different perspective, a club where we really have gratitude for everything that we have every day, and we look forward to each and every day. You know, I saw in my schedule that you were my noon interview, and I said, oh, my God, this is going to be an amazing day. And I looked up about all the terrible and cruel things that you've gone through, Rusty, and I still have a tear in my eye as I talk about this because, oh, my God, you've gone through some terrible things, but yet you get on the radio, you get on the show, and you tell about how wonderful things are in your life.
Well, and I think you're right. It is about perspective. I mean, you genuinely don't know what you don't know until you know. And sometimes, for those of us who, you know, evidently have a thicker contract with the big guy upstairs, our lives can be a little bit more daring, challenging, adverse. That's a nice way of putting it. But
I think it was more like
going
through hell and brimstone for you and I.
Yeah, I've walked on fire a few times. But, you know, it's nice to know that Satan's not hiring.
I want to be in heaven an hour before the devil knows I'm dead. I'll be happy that way.
He locks the doors every time I wake up. He's like, nope, she ain't coming back. Nope. But life is beautiful. It's a delicious journey. And when you stub your toe, it hurts and you have a couple of words afterwards. And that's normal. I think that if we don't reach out and learn either by trial and error or by life circumstance or even by reading, we really box ourselves into a world of simplicity, because experience is what makes your soul brighter, I think.
You know, it's true. And you know, you can be given a ton of lemons every day, and you could decide that you have lemons, or you can make lemonade out of them. What would you sooner do, Rusty?
I'm going to be making lemon meringue.
Ah, my favorite. I'll be down for some soon.
Yeah, I'm Southern. I'm Southern. Lemon meringue, key lime pie. You take that lemon and you make it sweet. Yes.
Yes, you don't take the lemon. You make it into something that's delicious as a result of it.
That's right. And I think that's why you and I have such a great role for the rest of our lives. We can inspire and motivate and create and plant seeds of love around the world by sharing our stories and sharing other people's stories, like you do with Harriet and I do with thousands of other people. I think it's very awesome position to be in, because even if someone hasn't necessarily experienced what you and I have experienced, or even what your wife experienced being the vicarious one watching you go through this, which that in itself, there's grief and trauma. We get to do it in a loving way and show that, yes, it can be hard. Yes, it can be downright awful. But in the end, you come out a brighter and more capable person. And the wallowing and all of that stuff, yeah, we all do. We're human. That's part of the human cycle. It's staying in that wallowing place that, you know, you and I are gifted at saying, hey, come on, get up. It's time. Wipe the knees off. Let's do this.
You know, and that's why I'd just like to go into a couple of the pearls that I love to give to everybody. And one of the pearls I love to give everybody is the pearl of gratitude. You know, gratitude is one of those wonderful things that we just say we're grateful for things that we get every day. And every day I like to write three little things in my journal as I start the day. And in that journal, I write down three things I'm happy for right now. Now, there is a rule. I can't repeat the things that I said yesterday, so that I have to think of three new things. And so when I look at my journal, my day starts with happiness, because even though there's some discomfort and hurt and pain in some of my days, the answer is I have something to look forward to. I have something really to say thank you for. And I'm going to challenge your audience to do two things. One is to start a journal themselves and write down things they're grateful for, even if they have, even our poorest in North America has far more than anybody in any other country. You know, there's some countries that live on just up to $200 a year. I was talking to a young lady from Belize this morning, and you would think Belize is a rich country, etc. But, you know, there are people starving in Belize because they can't even get any food into that country with the way that things have gone on with COVID. So I'm a member of a Rotary Club, and we're figuring out a way to help them in their time of need. And it's a very challenging thing, but I think we'll do it. Rotarians always have a can-do attitude, and they usually can figure out things around things.
I love the Rotary and love the idea that you're going to collectively figure out a way to help people in Belize. I think that's beautiful. I love my Canadian neighbors. You guys are just the wonderfulest, sweetest people.
Well, you know, we're the kinder, gentler America that George Bush Sr. spoke about. I lived in Minneapolis for 3 years, and I took my dermatology degree there. And I tell you, I have so many close American friends, it's crazy. And, you know, it's really, You know, we have an imaginary border between our two, and occasionally our politicians like to make it more than it is. But, you know, we have a combined mentality, and I tell you, it's really an amazing thing. And now I'm going to do the second thing. I'm going to turn this over and challenge your listeners to do something else for somebody else that they wouldn't regularly do. I'm going to ask them to literally go and, you know, if they have a car, get some groceries for their neighbor. I'm going to ask them to maybe, if they live in a house and their neighbor's yard is unkept, to help them with their yard. I'm going to ask them that today make a donation to the food bank because somebody today is hungry and they need some food in your country of wealth and things like that. I'm going to ask them to do something. You know, in Canada we have a coffee store called Tim Hortons. And, you know, even in the pandemic, we could only go into the drive-ups and so on. So I'd drive up to my drive-up, and I'd go and get a coffee, and at least half the time somebody had bought the coffee for me, so I didn't have to pay for it. So I buy for the coffee next in line. And so it's something that perpetuates itself if you get into that situation. And I'm going to challenge your listeners to do that today.
My group of audience, they're very, very good about paying it forward and absolutely love that. And I also love when we do a double impact. So my latest is to help our postal service by buying stamps and to help our elderly in nursing homes who are not able to have contact with people outside of a window by sending cards. And I think it's beautiful. The more that we can do in that spirit of paying it forward and that spirit of kindness and opening up to the compassionate role that I believe all of us should be living in, the less of the yucky stuff we would be dealing with. And I'm 100,000,000% support your challenges, Dr. Laika. That's awesome.
Well, you know,
this
and I'm
is kind of almost the end of the show, so.
Okay, well, let me just tell you a little story, because this little story will help everybody in their day. There was a carpenter by the name of Fred, and he had lost his enthusiasm. He'd worked for the same company for 35 years, and he literally could not do anymore. So he went to his boss and said, "I'm quitting." The boss told him, "Please, Fred, don't do that right now. Could you just do one more job for me?" Fred said, "Of course. You're my best boss. You're the only boss I worked for." The boss said, "Fred, can you build me just one more house?" And Fred said, "Okay." But his heart was not into it. He dragged his butt to work. He got the house done, but he produced shoddy workmanship. And at the end of the day, the house did pass inspection, but almost didn't. So he went to his boss and said, "Okay, boss, I'm done." The boss said, "Just hold it, Fred. Everybody draw a route. Everybody, this is Fred's last day. He was my best carpenter. It's going to be a very happy day for Fred, but it's going to be sad for me. But Fred, I've got a great gift for you. Fred, here's the keys for the last house you ever built. Please live it with all the enthusiasm you would in your regular life. I want you to live this house." So he gave him the keys to the house he just built. Can you picture what the world would be like if everybody was enthusiastic every day? If they were enthusiastic on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and they lived every day as if it was the last day on earth, can you picture what the world would be like today?
It would just be happy and glittery and bombastic. Totally would be amazing.
So with that, I'd like to give a gift to your whole audience there. I'd like to give them 52 golden pearls, one golden pearl a week for the next 52 weeks. And the way they can do that is text to me the words golden pearls, pearls with an S, to 1-819-717-2515. That's 1-819-717-2515. And for the next 52 weeks, I will send you a golden pearl. And in my text this morning, the pearl came out, empowerment, the process of spotting fear and refusing to obey it, as is the source of true empowerment. That's from Martha Beck. Now, there's a golden pearl for you.
Empowerment is one of my favorite words in the entire world. When did you feel as though you finally grasped what it means to have your own personal empowerment, but larger than that, empowering others? When did you get that spark of inspiration where you're like, oh man, this is what I'm supposed to do?
You know, I think I learn it all the time. I learn it when I'm on a show like this and I find somebody like you, Richie, that shares the spirit with me. I think I'm birthed it every day when I wake up and I see my beautiful wife of 39 years still sleeping next to me. I think I see it when I see somebody that's hurt and they get better. I think I see it when the sun shines and glistens through the trees. I really see empowerment all around me.
It's an amazing glittery world. Like, I feel like I float. I don't walk anymore. I get so excited when I'm surrounded by people who are open and excited and enthusiastic about what's going to happen next and not reserved or concerned. I think there's a letting go and a detachment that happens as you get good at life that makes it even more vibrant.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, just a couple of things. One is, if anybody would like to get in touch with me, the best way to do that is just to go to my website, doclyka.ca. You can find out all about me. I'm a professional motivational speaker. I'm a coach. I help a lot of people in my given day, and I'd love to help your audience if they're having difficulties right now. Check me out. I can help your audience, I believe, and I'd love them to get a copy of my book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. Please buy it through the website I've set up called fantasticlifebook.com, fantasticlifebook.com, because if you buy it through there, I know who's bought it, and I can give 20% of my profits to a charity in your area that will end domestic violence. Basically, between Harry and I, we've decided that's what we'd like to do. One of the things we find ugly in this world is domestic violence. There's many other ugly things, but this is where we're concentrating on right now. And as a result of buying our book, we will be giving 20% of the profits to helping a shelter in your area.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Leica. So before we wrap up, give us one or two out of your powerful 13 golden nuggets, one that we can chew on before
we
wrap up.
Well, let me go to one more before you. You know, one, we start with 13 golden pearls. The first one we start with is love, and we end up with empowerment. Now, Reese Witherspoon said, you always gain by living love, by giving love. You always gain by giving love. And Mother Teresa said, if you love until it hurts, there can be no more hurt, only love. Now, those are powerful statements that I'd like you to think about. But as you go into my book, you will be on a voyage of discovery, and you'll discover far more than that. It'll take you on a journey that hopefully will help you in your everyday and help you overcome some of the problems that you're having.
Yay! All right, Dr. Leica. I have what was sent to me was drleica.com. Is that not correct?
You know, there's two sites. I just gave you the simplified one because it forwards to it. But the other site is Dr. Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Leica, L-Y-C-K-A, .com. And it's just longer.
Okay.
So anybody that's driving or doing things like that, they will have a harder time punching that in. So I just made it easy for you today, docleica.ca. It's C-A because that's how we do things in Canada. We say things like A all the time instead of huh. You know, so docleica.ca if you're driving. Otherwise, Dr. D-R Allen, A-L-L-E-N, Leica, L-Y-C-K-A.com.
And everybody can find your social media links and the DrAlanLaika.com on the summary here on Blog
Talk.
Yes,
I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on everything, so they can catch me wherever they love to be.
That's it. So the Red and Green Show happens to be one of my favorite shows, by the way.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
You know that one?
Nice to hear. I've come across it. It's one of my favorite shows.
Did we lose you again?
There's a lot of good things on it.
Dr. Laika?
Yes. Hello?
Well, you're listening
Hello?
To Living and Thriving with Rusty, and that was Dr. Laika. Definitely check out all three of his new books. It's really exciting that he's co-conspiring with Jack Canfield, who is also a transformational coach, leader, and an amazing writer. Check out all the links below. And if Dr. Laika pops in, I'm sure he'll say something. Otherwise, we're going to wrap up the show. Remember, empowerment, love, and service, serving other people. Do something fun. Send out a postcard. Mail a love letter to somebody. Knock on your neighbor's door. Use a broomstick 6 feet. You know, that whole thing. Bring cookies to the local daycare. You know, you probably can't go in, but you can probably drop off something. Go through your closet, all the clothes that you're not wearing. Wash them, put them in a bag, drop them off at a domestic violence shelter or a church or your synagogue or a temple. There's so many things that you can do to be a part of this community and a part of this society in a positive and amazing, constructive way. Larger, turn off the darn television. Cannot stress that enough. Know that you're loved. Know that you're beautiful. And I'm so excited to be here with you today. It's sunny. It's beautiful. And God, this feels good. And I'm grateful that Dr. Laika has.
Hello, Rusty. I don't know what happened there, so I'm phoning in through my other line.
That's okay. I didn't know what happened either. I thought maybe you had muted yourself or something.
No, this happened on Blog Talk, too. I don't know exactly what happened. So I always carry two phones. One's my landline and one's my cell line. So I was able to call through on the other line.
Well, I was just wrapping up, and I was just sending you gratitude for all that you do. And I'm so grateful that we got to spend this time together.
You know, Rusty, it truly has been a highlight of my day. I really thank you for allowing me to be on your show and allowing me to share a little bit of my knowledge. I'm always happy to do that.
And congratulations on your new book. I'm so excited, and hopefully you can send me like a picture of the book cover and I can put it on this reel. And actually, all three of your book covers, that would be great, and I'll just stick it on the reel so that everybody knows what to be looking for.
I will do that shortly. Thank you very much.
Yay. So give my best to everybody in your house and an extra special hug to Miss Harriet, because I perfectly understand the strength she has.
Well, and I'm going to get Harriet to come on your show as well, and I'm going to ask you to come on my podcast, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life.
You have a podcast?
So we can even help more. I
oh
do.
My
it's
gosh.
Just starting. It,
that would be
it's
awesome.
Going to be, I would love to have you on it, Rusty.
Oh, I would be so honored. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yeah, just pop me an email. Let me know. That would be really great. And let me know how to find it when you send me your email. And that way I can advertise too. And that would be fun.
Absolutely. Sounds good.
Yay. See how this works, world? You give, you love, you hug, and this is virtual as we can get right now because of the whole 6 foot distance thing. But I get to interview Harriet, too. This is like a win-win. And she's got a tough story, so definitely buckle up on that one. Dr. Laika, you were beautiful, and I know that we will circle around again. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always such an honor and a privilege.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty. And how exciting is this life? I mean, so many beautiful people from all over the world. These people are the fabric of our society. They don't need to have sports cars and bling bling and all this TV show nonsense. They just need to have a heart and soul, and they need to vibe with that. I mean, Dr. Laika went through hell and back. He knows a woman who he's helped inspire and raise up, and she's doing amazing things, and that's what the world is. It's beautiful. So go out there, clean out your closet. You know you got stuff in there that you're not going to use, all right? Domestic violence shelters, synagogues, temples, as I was saying earlier, they could all use this stuff. Mail cards out to the homeless shelter, doctors, nurses, nursing homes. There's just so much positive stuff that you could be doing right now. Get up off your couch, take the spaghetti stain off your shirt, get some stamps, and let's do this. We can make this world a better place, but it takes all of us. Know that you're loved, know that you're beautiful, and gosh, what a great day.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.